You know, I found this stat that was floating around yesterday a little weird that it's only the second ranked versus ranked opponent actually in a Big Ten stadium between the SEC and the Big Ten. 2011 Alabama at Penn State was the last time. This time it is Auburn from our state that's going to Happy Valley to play the big game in prime time on ABC. It's the game day game.
Yeah, you know who else is going to Happy Valley? Our guy Reese Davis. He's on the Pepsi hotline with us right now. Hello, Reese. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks a lot. Now, I know a lot of times, I shouldn't say I know a lot of times because I don't know your personal schedule, but I would imagine a lot of times when game day is over, you hop a plane and get back to Connecticut. Have you stayed for an actual whiteout game? What is the atmosphere like there?
No, I stay almost all the time.
Really? Okay, so that was a horrible assumption by me. My apologies.
Yeah, that was very poor, homework on your
part. Yeah, it's awful homework. Should have asked you before,
yeah. No, I mean, it varies. I mean, obviously, from time to time, you know, I don't stay. But I haven't missed a whiteout when we've been to State College. Well, I take it back. Well, I guess last year doesn't count because there was no crowd. I didn't stay through very many games last year because of, you know, rules and protocols and all that jazz. But prior to that, I've been there for the Michigan whiteout in which they obliterated Michigan. And then the Ohio State whiteout, which they probably should have won the game, but Ohio State pulled it out. It was just a great atmosphere. And you guys know I grew up in SEC territory. And there are certainly SEC environments. I would not say that Penn State exceeds them, but nor would I say that any of the difficult places to play in the SEC are harder than a whiteout night game for big game Penn State. As much as an atmosphere can impact the game, that one's at the top of the list. It might share, you know, with a huge game in Kyle Field in terms of noise or in either of the Death Valleys, particularly LSU's version, you know, or Auburn or Alabama for a big game. But there's not one that I would say, oh, yeah, that's clearly tougher than Penn State. Penn State and whiteout is no joke.
Since we've had you on, I don't know if we ever had the opportunity to ask you about the Brian Harsin hire. I mean, so far, so good. I know it's Akron and Alabama State, but I'm sure over the years you've gotten to know Brian Harsin a little bit. What was your initial thought when Auburn went outside of the box and brought Harsin in from Boise State?
Well, I had a little bit of an idea that they were headed in that direction. Maybe when I first found that out, that might have surprised me in terms of fit. But I thought it was a really wise move by Alan Green, because I've known Brian since he was the offensive coordinator at Boise. He used to call his games on Thursday night, and have great respect for him as a coach and as a guy. And you know, I think he's tough. He sets a high standard, and I think it was, a really smart choice by Alan Green to go and hire Brian Harsin. And you know, will it work? I mean, do you ever know if a coaching hire is going to work until you get a little time? I don't know, but with the track record and the type of guy that he is, and the way he goes about his business, and his coaching ability, in my judgment, from you know, watching him over the years, I think it was a really smart hire, and you know, one that, you know, he'll be defined at Auburn just like everyone else is. Can he hold his own against Alabama? Can he win consistently? All of those things that ultimately determine how long you last at Auburn will determine his fate as well.
College game day host Reese Davis with us. Is there, as you guys prepare for the show, is there a comparison you guys can make with Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford and Auburn quarterback Bo Nix? Are these guys a lot alike as you get ready for the game, Reese?
They have some similar characteristics, and they have some similar, you know, sort of head-scratching stat lines. I mean, everybody in you know, that follows Auburn knows that, you know, Bo has been a very different quarterback when at Jordan-Hare and when he's not. You know, I have some reason to believe that we're going to see an improved version of Bo Nix on the road this year for a couple of reasons. One, I think he's really done some detailed work, you know, with personal quarterback coaches who I have a high regard for. And I also think that Brian's offense and, you know, I think Brian's approach to quarterbacks and his offense really fits Bo better. than what he was doing before. So I think that I think you're going to see some more consistency, and on the road, and he'll certainly need to show that on Saturday night. And I think the same is true for Clifford. Sean, you know, has been a little bit erratic at times, and it's frustrated Penn State fans. But they have a new offensive coordinator in Mike Yurcich, and I think from following Mike's career, knowing him a little bit over the years, I think that, you know, that was also something that's a very quarterback-friendly move for him at this stage in his career. So I expect that, you know, that was a really tough defense he opened up with against Wisconsin. But, you know, they found a way to win the game. Their defense carried the day. But I think that as the season unfolds, that you'll see that Sean will become a little bit more consistent as well. He's got a lot of ability, and, you know, and I think he's, you know, he plays with a little bit of an edge to him, largely because he's been doubted. So I think there are some similarities in terms of both quarterbacks have been erratic in certain circumstances that has, you know, maybe hampered them from being as consistent and as good as they'd like to be.
You can follow Reese on Twitter at Reese Davis. He is with us on the Pepsi Hotline. See him on ESPN's College Game Day, live from Happy Valley with Auburn and Penn State playing Saturday night. Normally, when your name gets mentioned for a job, you have to navigate those waters for a couple of weeks at the end of the season. But for James Franklin now, his name is heavily attached to this USC job, and it's only week two, Reese, or week three. He's got to figure out a way, I guess, to navigate this for quite a while now.
Yeah, he's going to have to. He is for a while. But, you know, then Adam Schefter had the report that Eric Bieniemy has moved to the top of the list. I've been very, you know, look, nobody ever pays me that coaching consultant fee, but I sure do wish they would. You know, what I would do if I were Mike Bone is I would go make Matt Rhule say no. Now, he may very well say no, but, you know, Matt has the track record of program rebuilding, being demanding, but also having the right charisma that I think would be the perfect fit at USC. If maybe he's not enjoying the NFL as much as he thought he would, there's no reason for me to think that. I just think if I were in position at USC and I was going to say, you know what, I'm USC, I'm going to go after whoever I want, and I will make them say no first, and then we'll move on. That's where I would go first. I would go to Rhule first, and if he said no, then we'd go to Plan B. But, you know, I think, you know, James is a really good coach. He too has great charisma. He did a terrific job at Vanderbilt and is doing a terrific job at Penn State. You know, it's really interesting. I was talking with our producers, and we're not going to ignore this because obviously we're going to have a conversation about USC opening on Saturday morning. But I don't think it's respectful or proper to try to put him in a gotcha situation when he comes on set, and I'm probably just going to say that on TV before he comes on Saturday morning. Say, look, everybody knows that his name's out there for the SC job. Everyone knows this, but he's got a game against Auburn tonight. You can't get any next job unless you do the one you have properly and to the best of your ability. And whether James becomes a candidate, whether he becomes the next USC coach, I mean, he very well might, but I can guarantee you from knowing him, he's not going to be spending any time in the building today going, I wonder what Mike Bone's thinking. I wonder if he's called my agent yet. You know, I don't really buy that. So, you know, we'll handle it. We'll talk about it, but I don't know that anything stronger than speculation and, you know, the rumors and innuendos that, James might want the USC job at some point in his career, might have wanted it at some point in the past in his career. And if he did, so what? Get in line. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of people who wanted the SC job over the years. Jackie Sherrill once said that, you know, good coach gets the SEC job, he should win the national championship every year. You know, so, I mean, there have been a lot of coaches over the years who have been fascinated with the possibility of being the head coach at USC. I certainly don't think that's any, you know, big indictment against James or any breaking news, really, that any coach would be interested in that.
Reese, best win in the country through 2 weeks, Georgia neutral site over Clemson or Oregon going on the road to Columbus and beating Ohio State?
Yeah, It's not that I think Clemson's probably better overall, a better team, I mean. But going to Ohio State without your two best defensive players, without the one player who it's not a one-player game. When I've been pumping up Thibodeau all season, it's not because I think he's a one-man team. But to win games like that, you need either game breakers or game wreckers. Kayvon Thibodeau is a game wrecker. That's why I thought in the preseason Oregon would win the game. Kayvon Thibodeau, young quarterback, he'll make them make enough mistakes, they'll win the game. They didn't have him, and they didn't have Justin Flo, and not going to have Justin Flo for quite a while, it seems. And they won anyway because they ran over them and because they got key stops at the right times, even though they gave up a bunch of yards. That's the best win, because it was in hostile territory and they were undermanned and they did it. There was no fluke to it. It was pretty obvious who the better team on that day was. Maybe not more talented top to bottom, but the better team on that day was clearly Oregon. And while that was a great win for Georgia, Oregon winning in the Shoe without their two best defensive players, that's the best win of the season.
I'm into my 50s now, Reese, so I have these routines when I'm not on site for a game, and that includes breakfast on Saturday morning. And luckily, the waitress at the place I go every week, sitting in the same place, she knows that I'm going to get this, and I need to be out by 7:45 so that I can be back at the house so I can get the start of game day, because I love the open. When do you write the opening? I don't even know what you call it in the business, but I used to call it a hot open. When do you write the hot open for the start of game day? Is that on site when you get there and get a feel for the place, or is it something you work on throughout the week?
Combination of both. I call it the scene set. So it depends on, you know, what kind of scene we're going to have, what the themes are. Is the scene big enough to stay there? Do we need to show other things from around the country, or just perhaps reference them with a sign or two, or just, you know, reference the theme, whatever things may be. We look for, you know, unique things. Like last week, you know, we had our mini version of Field of Dreams there. My original idea was to actually go to Field of Dreams for a variety of, you know, reasons that don't really have to do with television. We had to improvise, you know. But we try to make them fun, make them memorable, make them energetic, make them touch the crowd. Still my favorite one of all time, I think, was when we were at Penn State and a few years ago, and we had the idea, because I don't know how much you guys know about the traditions. You probably know all about the traditions at Penn State, but at some point during the game, the student section usually starts chanting, "We want the Lion." And when they chant that, the Lion mascot, they take him and he body surfs to the top of Beaver Stadium. They pass him up. So I had originally thought that maybe we would do that for the open, have the Lion do it. And then the idea came up that we would have Corso do it. And so LC, I broached this with him. He decides he would do it. And then right before the start of the show, security became very worried that they couldn't get him back from the crowd and get him to the set after coming to your city and played. And, you know, they were afraid and they said, "We're not going to do it." And I'd already told our director, Rodney Perez, I said, "Look, if there's an issue, just tell me. It's no problem. The Lion's still going to do it. We'll do it." So Rodney says, "Hey, RD, look, security's worried. Let's bag coach doing this." And I'm like, "No problem. Open my mic to him and I'll tell him." And so I said, "Hey, LC," I said, "look, security's a little worried about this." I said, "Come on back up to the set. We'll just let the Lion do it." And I'll never forget his response to me. He goes, "Hell no, sweetheart. We're doing it."
It is why we love Corso.
And so he goes in there, he's lying there, and they're passing him back, and he's body surfing with a Lion. And it might have been my favorite one in my now 7 years on game day. So it's you know, it was really fun. It's something you want to do, something if you can, to connect with the place where you are, you know, and be part of that and share that with your audience at home, and also hopefully give the crowd that's there something that's fun too.
All right, you can see game day about the time Dunaway's getting home from breakfast. All of you get to watch it on ESPN. Reese Davis and the entire gang from State College, thank you very much for the time, Reese. It is always a pleasure.
You bet. You guys know Alabama and Florida are playing this week too, right?
We do.
Wow. Yes, you just blew up our chat room. Way to go.
Bama, touchdown favorite.
My story was too long. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you, Reese. Take care. That is Reese Davis with us on the Pepsi Hotline with a fantastic story.
It's an amazing observation. It was a great story, but that is a funny observation. Typically, Alabama playing in Gainesville, it would be something we would mention.